Hello, world, and welcome to another episode of Into the Blue Zone, a plant-based production. Today, we have extremely honored and special guest, CEO and co-founder of the legendary Plant Power Fast Food, Jeffrey Harris. Jeffrey, thank you for letting me come to your house here in LA and set up, and I appreciate all the hospitality already.
Skylar, it's such a joy to finally meet you in person and to hug it out and have you here, and I'm honored. And I like that intro. You made me sound kind of important, so I'm loving it. Thanks.
I mean, there's 10 Plant Power Fast Foods, and I have such a killer story, and you have an 11th one coming in.
Yeah.
In sweet Hollywood.
Hollywood, California.
I mean, you're doing it right.
Swimming pools, movie stars.
When you're in Hollywood and Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Think, you know, you're taking over the West Coast.
That's how we like to think of it. Yes.
And
love that.
And the East Coast is, you know.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
It's not far from.
We'll be a worldwide global conglomerate very soon. But until then, one at a time.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Kind Humans movement. I am a affiliate ambassador of Kind Humans. And it's just such a good reminder to myself to be more kind. And your kindness and love radiates to me on this podcast and over the phone when we've talked. And feel free to check out the description and buy some stuff through Kind Humans and be more kind in the world, because kindness and love is something that I've adopted in my life and that we all need to adopt more. There's a lot of darkness, and I know you're such an advocate for that stuff. So need to shout out to Kind Humans.
All right, Kind Humans. I'd love to learn more after the interview.
Totally love to share. And, We'll dive right into it. You've been vegetarian and vegan for 46 years, you mentioned.
Something like that. I have to do the math every time somebody asks me, but I became a vegetarian in 1974 when I was 14 years old, which means I'm about the age of your great-grandparents, I'm guessing. Something like that? No, I'm kidding. So 74, I became a vegetarian, and someplace around 1995 or 1996, I had my last bagel with cream cheese, after which I was a real vegan. So been on this journey for a very long time.
That's incredible. I am going on 5 years this February.
Congratulations.
So I'm excited to talk about some plant power stuff, and then also a little wave to the guests and our listeners. Just your experience and knowledge being vegan without meat. I feel like that's just such an unknown world and kind of frightening for a lot of males and females. I know females I can't do without fish, and I love my eggs and, you know, eat fresh, and we have the meats, all the fast food advertisement slogans, and, you know, plant power is the future of fast food, and the future is here. And I live right down the street from one of your Encinitas locations. What's your favorite thing to get there?
Great question. Lately, you know, it's funny, I've gone through the menu on different things. Lately, I'm stuck on the classic cheeseburger with the gluten-free bun at Avocado. I don't know why. I'm just stuck on it. For many years, I was just getting the black bean burger, which I love, the black bean patty. But lately, I've kind of fallen in love with our beefy patty. So that's my thing. And I'm trying to lighten my diet, so I'll try to hold it there. But if I'm working for an hour or two, then I'm like, all right, I'm going for the chicken nuggets, man. We're not joking anymore. So love the chicken nuggets, you know. And you know what? The salads are great, because for a long time, I'm a salad guy at home, but I wasn't a salad guy at Plant Power. And I've been doing the superfood salad and like loving it. So yeah, lots of cool stuff.
Yeah. The breakfast burrito.
Oh my God.
You mentioned, dude, the breakfast is killer on one of your other shows that you're doing. And the breakfast burrito at Avocado is to die for.
It's crazy. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend will not let me come back from a Plant Power visit without bringing home the chicken waffle breakfast sandwich. Ooh. And I've done that a couple times and had to sleep in my car in the driveway for weeks at a time. It's not good. No, I'm kidding. No, it's not that bad.
Okay. So my favorite sauce is the ranch sauce. You guys do a phenomenal job with your sauces.
Thank you very much.
And if you like ranch, I mean, I wish you could just sell your ranch sauce. So
that sounds like a good idea.
And, you know, you just trialed my mom's Simone's Caesar salad dressing.
By the way, got a shout out. What's your mom's name?
Simone Heyman.
I had a funny feeling. That was crazy good. Seriously good. I mean, yeah. I'm kind of wanting some more right now, but we'll do this interview first. But yeah, that's good. Yeah, good job, Simone.
Mom,
if you're watching
hopefully
this.
You're watching. Yeah, Jeffrey very approves. Good. Two thumbs up.
Seriously.
And so does his gal, Lonnie.
Yeah, she loved it.
So I'm excited to kind of produce more of that and get it in your hands and hustle some more with that stuff.
All right, we'll talk.
Okay, so where do you get your protein from? You're 25 years vegan or so and vegetarian, and you know, I had a little concern, like, you know, I'm lifting weights and coaching volleyball, trying to get strong.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, like, you didn't wither away like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Apparently not. You know, it's funny. That was when I became a vegetarian in 1974, our family doctor really pretty much indicated that I probably wouldn't live. So that the thinking back then is that the only source of protein is meat, fish, dairy, and also you need huge amounts of it to survive. And that was just based on old crazy fallacies that weren't connected to reality. So there's so many sources for protein. I mean, other than animal-based sources, there's nuts and seeds, legumes, beans. I happen to love tofu, you know. There's now all sorts of amazing protein powders that aren't like the protein powders of old. So years ago, if you read a label, like 20 or 30 years ago, if you went into general nutrition or something and you read a label on a protein powder, you don't know what these things are. But now there are so many GMO-free, soy-free, organic combinations of pea protein, protein from brown rice, and things like that. So there's a million ways to do it. And even just whole grains have protein. Broccoli, who knew? That was my Jewish accent. Who knew? But broccoli's got a huge amount of protein as well. So, and spinach. So I think that when we stop and do our research, we realize that a lot of the myths we've been living with about protein having to come from animal products was just never, strictly speaking, accurate. And then as you learn more about proteins as a vegan or a vegetarian, you can certainly supplement with B12 and things like that, but there's also ways to combine the kind of proteins that you get for brown rice, for example, and beans together, which actually do create some of the amino acids that are necessary. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV. But I've just kind of learned over the years from jumping in and exploring myself.
What a great segue into my next thought. And you talked about tofu and this and that. In the China study, are you familiar with the book, The China Study?
Yes.
Okay, so awesome. We could talk about that for a second. And they talk about Colin Campbell, the author, who also made up the class through the University of E. Cornell and the Nutrition Center. Studies of Nutrition. I took his class. He wrote the China Study, and it's the most comprehensive study on nutrition ever conducted. Yeah. That's his claim.
I actually met Colin. Wonderful man.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
I would love to meet him. He has a quote here. You should not assume that your doctor has any more knowledge about food and its relation to health than your neighbors and coworkers. And you're not a doctor.
I am not a doctor.
You're a neighbor, though.
Nor do I play one on TV. Yes, I'm a neighbor.
And you're a coworker.
Yeah.
And you're a founder and CEO of Plant Power.
You know, when you say it, it sounds really good. What I found out is that you can go through all these years of medical school, and my brother, who's a physician, has gone through it. They get like 8 hours of nutrition. And everything that we understand about nutrition has kind of been filtered through this kind of economy based on animal products. You know, the food pyramid, like we're not even looking at reality either, right? So, yeah, I was stunned that many times I've met physicians that didn't know as much as I do. Mm-hmm. And that was shocking, mm-hmm. you know, to me.
Yeah, I think it's important for listeners, if you're thinking like, oh, well, the doctor says, take this, take that. I mean, I have like four pillars that I break down why going plant-based or vegan is the best kept secret mm-hmm. to everyone's life. And, you know, it's like, disease prevention, fitness, animals, environment, in no particular order. I think you have kind of the similar thought with those four breakdowns or three breakdowns.
100%. Now, I think everybody that goes on the plant-based journey starts from a different place, which is really interesting. So I know people that have started from fitness and wellness or health and, you know, kind of these things combined. And then once they're kind of not consuming animal products for a while, their consciousness shifts a little bit. And they're able to look at some things that maybe they were not able to really look at before. And suddenly they could be more aware of the suffering of animals or more open to learning about the sustainability dimension of animal products versus plant-based. For me, my journey started all about the animals. You know, it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks as a kid when I was 13 and 14 years old. And I had this revelation that the animals that I was eating in my bologna sandwiches and hamburgers and hot dogs and all this stuff that had the same sentience, the same desire for safety and love that my cats and dogs did, mm-hmm. right? It was just so clear as day. And I found myself honestly shocked that I was living in a world of adults who did not seem to see this basic thing. And at the time, I had never heard of anyone else that was a vegetarian. You know, I thought maybe I was the first or something. I mean, I'd heard the word, so there must be some out there. And of course, there's India with hundreds of millions of them. But I just realized that I could no longer participate in, and even before we knew about factory farming and slaughterhouses, I'm like, it can't be good. This can't be a good experience as an animal to have your life taken away. So I started there. And then in my particular case, some years later, and it's a story I've told before, hanging out with hippies in Santa Cruz, California, late 70s, and went into a restaurant that was kind of a wok restaurant, W-O-K. They just throw a bunch of veggies in a wok and drop them on brown rice with tofu and some sauce. And I'm like, what is this thing called real food you speak of? It was kind of the first time I was experiencing brown rice, you know, whole grains, vegetables that still had that freshness in them. And it started me on the journey of exploring the health dimension of this as well. And then years later, we didn't know about the sustainability piece or climate change and all of these factors for quite a while out from there. So I started from the animal piece, started to understand the health. And I've worked with people. I don't want to get in trouble for this, but I have worked with many cancer patients to help them get off of animal products and onto a plant-based diet, high juicing, high enzymes, low sugar, and have seen tremendous impact of not only fitness, which I know you're familiar with, but the curing of diseases by just moving off everything that's not plant-based and staying right there.
That's awesome. And it seems like it depends on, you know, your time and place and when you're born. Like my parents are plant-based and I introduced them a month after, and they're more in the focus of disease prevention because we had a couple people pass in our family.
Yeah.
That, you know, man, it seemed a little too soon. And maybe if you're a little older and you're coming, like you came into it as a kid,
yeah.
and just kind of stuck with it, and it's been great. And then if you're like kind of, how about real quick, before I forget this question, your parents?
Yeah.
Were they ever on board or?
Yeah. It's funny. My dad, neither of my parents were vegetarian when I grew up, and we had not heard of the word vegan back then, by the way. Right. Mm-hmm. I remember the night that I became vegetarian. We were eating vegan around the kitchen table, and you and I are both Jewish. So I'll say at my bar mitzvah, when I was 13, I was talking about the sacredness of life and how hunting is wrong and the death penalty. And I think the rabbi was not too happy about my bar mitzvah speech. It's a little bit of a revolutionary, right?
That's great.
Deliver the speech, have a nice meal, get the checks. But it's an inside Jewish joke, folks, yeah, if you know. But I remember sitting around the table and we were having veal. And I said, what is veal? And my mother told me. And that was it, right? I literally put my fork down and I just said, I can't participate in this inside. Mm-hmm. And she saw it in my eyes right away. She knew something had clicked and she started going, well, I'm not going to cook for you. And mom became a great vegetarian cook, you know, before I was vegan, right? Yeah. Years later, when I became vegan, she's like, why did you become vegan? I'm like, I'm not from another planet. I'm just not doing dairy. But she became a very good vegetarian cook for me. But then my brother and my sister and my dad all became vegetarian. And my dad, in fact, was an influence in my earlier life because when I asked him, why aren't we going hunting like our other friends? My dad said, well, we don't kill for sport. And that was kind of the planting of a seed, mm-hmm. Even as a kid that had a big impact on me.
So you had that support through your father and your
everyone
dad.
Was cool. Yeah. I was in a family awesome. Where it was, we weren't like living on a farm, raising cows. Nobody was sure. too insulted.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's really inspiring because coaching a lot of kids, it's like, well, it's hard for them to make that
yeah.
strong opinionated decision or yeah. stance like you did. And you know, that takes a lot of like cojones, you know, as a, maybe a 15-year-old girl or guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I want to go vegan, although my parents aren't going to. And it's like, maybe they delay that until you get older and kind of like are more on your own. And that's kudos to you for doing that because deal with kids all the time and they need that support.
And everyone's situation is different. So I had very kind, loving parents and I was lucky that way, but I can imagine that it could be difficult for parents that take a contrarian view, you know, to being vegan or a plant-based diet. I can imagine it would be challenging.
It's like, I'm not going to cook that. And I'm sure it's tough. Yeah. And I'm super happy. My mom is an amazing chef. Well, my dad's probably super happy because he gets to eat the food all the time. I'm bummed she lives 3,000 miles away. Okay. So have you ever gone plant-based during this journey of like more just whole food and less processed, or is that kind of a new phenomenon?
Oh, that's great. Well, because I'm sharing with you that I started as vegetarian for the animals and then vegan for the animals.
Right.
But absolutely. So, you know, my own journey is probably like a lot of people's journey. Like I figured it out. Like I know what rocks my body, right? And it's very simple, man. A lot of greens, salad, steams, vegetables, sauteed vegetables, very light oil, low carbs in my case, right? Fruit. So I know what makes me feel phenomenal. And like everybody, I get tripped up by my own addictions. And my crazy out of control addiction is like, I want a piece of toast. Okay. Vegan's gone wild.
Kite, you got Kite Hill, buddy.
I know.
The Kite, shout out to Kite Hill.
Shout out to Kite Hill.
If you're
watching, send your advertising checks to Skylar.
Yeah. I mean, Kite Hill, like they have cream cheese and butter. And when I don't buy it, you know, on my own, because I will just crush it. It's so good.
Okay, I got to tell you a Kite Hill story. Can I go off the rails?
Please do. That's why we're
here. So we had this really cool executive meeting of our board of directors and our board of advisors and some finance people we're working with. And we had a big meeting in San Diego at a hotel, rented out a big conference room for like 2 days of meetings. It was very exciting. Or maybe it was one full day meeting, I think was what we had. And I told them, okay, this is the vegan crowd, right? It's a vegan company. And I made them swear that everything was 100% vegan. And they set up a whole breakfast thing for us. And the cream cheese was so real that we all freaked out and we couldn't eat it. And I'm familiar with all the cream cheeses. I'm a huge fan of the Follow Your Heart cream cheese. They're friends of mine. I love it. I've had vegan cream cheeses for years. Yeah. But at one point we're like, you guys screwed up. This is real cream cheese. And they had to go back there and pull out the label for us. So kudos to Kite Hill. That was next level.
Okay, so it was real cream cheese.
No, it was Kite Hill cream cheese. I didn't tell that story well.
No, it's good. This is perfect.
The punchline was, it was actually Kite Hill cream cheese, and it was so real that we were afraid of eating it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing.
And you know, Jews, we know.
Yeah, we know bagels and breakfast and cream cheese. Yeah.
That's right.
That stuff is bomb. And you know what else is bomb? The buffalo tenders.
Oh, dude, at Plant Power?
So
rather than some competing restaurant, I'm just kidding. No. Yeah,
the Plant Power buffalo tenders are like next level.
They are. I know. Yeah. They're like, I know. We've noticed that people will actually replace their standard daily dose of hallucinogenics with buffalo tenders.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
For my parents did.
Kids who are listening, ignore that.
They're hysterical. So here's a great story. I have a volleyball tournament a couple of years ago. I'm flying to Savannah the next morning. I have a volleyball tournament in the afternoon. So by the time I get home, Plant Power would be closed. So I drive south before going north in traffic to get $100 worth of Plant Power.
Because my
dad is requesting it, and my mom.
Yeah.
You got to bring us Plant Power. Because they tried it once before and they were hysterical. They were hallucinating on the buffalo tenders and the fish au filet. And so I go up to my volleyball tournament. We don't get done till 10. I'm home at 11. I'm packaging in my golf bag, hoping that the buffalo sauce and stuff doesn't spill everywhere.
Yeah.
And we end up flying cross country. I got $100 worth of food, probably like 6 fish sandwiches, 4 buffalo tenders.
We noticed that there was a bump in sales that day.
Yeah.
So I do want to thank you for
that.
The
woman was like, I was like, I got some t-shirts and a mug and
stock up, baby.
And like the next 3 days we were eating it. And that's the beauty of the vegan food and your magic stuff. Like, a couple days, it doesn't go bad.
It's plant-based. Yeah. And that's what people don't know. So, yeah, for my friends and family that eat, you know, animal products, you can't leave that stuff out for half a day. You cannot. That's going to kill you. But plant-based is completely different. You can have a fully vegan pizza on your counter. My girlfriend's, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but you can have a vegan pizza set out for 3 days, and it's really fine. It's plant-based. It's not going to it's not going to kill you like that. Although using the refrigerator is a good idea.
Yeah.
But I get it because, you know, people wonder if our stuff is still good after a couple of days. But sometimes when I go to Plant Power, before I drive back to LA, I'll get a few sandwiches and wraps, put it in a bag, throw it in the fridge, and I'm still eating them 3 or 4 days later and just thrilled that they're there, you know?
Yeah. So also, I want to educate our listeners because we're so enthusiastic about, and I'm probably a little more pushy than you. And I think that's my East Coast. You're from the West Coast. I'm from Philly, Jersey.
Right.
And, you know, we want to educate the people listening that what is in, and it doesn't have to be Plant Power because you might have to kill me.
Yeah.
You know, you
got
licensing
issues.
Me, you might have to kill me.
Exactly.
Here.
If you knew.
That's on record. Yeah. If I knew, you know, it's like the magician, you know, until the one guy tells all the secrets. You know, so what's in like the, what's the base? Because we want to educate, or at least on the show.
Yeah.
And you're the guy to do it because you've been doing it for 30 years, 40 years.
Happy to go there.
Like,
right?
What's like the chicken tender made of or the Beyond Meat?
Yeah.
So, because I think the common misconception, which I had, is like, well, why would I eat the vegan meat if it's just as bad? Or everyone says, you know, the myth,
right,
the protein myth, people just gossip that it's not better than regular fast food meat. Obviously, there's high quality, you know,
but this is
meat and stuff.
It's a great question. I mean, it's a really good question. So, and I want to kind of identify that when we talk about the benefits of plant-based over animal products, just for a moment, let's take out the animal part, right, and the sustainability part. So let's just focus on health and wellness. So the first thing that happens is all that cholesterol just goes away. It's over.
Which, on the educational side, there's no cholesterol in plant-based foods.
Yeah, none at all.
And cholesterol is really bad as you get older, and it limits blood flow.
Yeah, and basically it could create everything from strokes, cardiovascular disease, erectile dysfunction, cholesterol. Well, there's different kinds of cholesterol. Again, I'm going into my I'm not a doctor speech.
Keep going.
But so the moment that you move into a plant-based foods, your cholesterol is gone, right? And then when you move into well-produced modern plant-based foods, a lot of other stuff is gone as well. Chemicals, pesticides, all sorts of stuff that will show up in animal products go away, that things that kind of compounds that get put in the feed and everything that they do to keep those animals alive in tough conditions, that goes away as well. But I do want to touch on something briefly, and I won't take too much time. When I first became a vegetarian in 1974, and I won't mention any brand names, but there was a brand out there that made some really very, very tasty breakfast sausages and bacon back in the day. And when I read those ingredient lists, it's like, holy moly, what is this? It was just lots of chemicals that I couldn't pronounce. And it was a huge list. It was very, very processed. Over the years, that's changed considerably. You know, over the years, you have more and more companies that are actually producing meat analogs that have less and less products in them and less chemicals and preservatives and additives and flavors. There's certainly a variety. So you can't go out there and say processed veggie burger bad, meat good, because you need to talk about what products that you're really actually talking about. And as an example, the burgers at Plant Power are made from GMO-free soy. They have a very high nutritional profile and a very low ingredient count. They're actually very, very healthy. You can't compare them to other more processed burgers. But when you are talking about processed food, what kind of ingredients are in that food, right? Is it GMO-free? Are there a lot of chemicals for preserving? Are you using simply heat and pressure, right, like Beyond uses? Or are you using other chemical processes that other brands may use? And you want to keep in mind the fact that there's a lot of grains. There's a lot of, like in our chicken product, quinoa and rice and grains. There's wheat as well, which some people prefer to avoid. So I think it's more complex. And I think that we look at it from 30,000 feet and say, processed food bad. Well, it depends how processed and what you're taking out of the food that's bad for you. Generally, a whole plant-based diet is the healthiest option. I mean, eating food the way it's grown on the planet is awesome. Optimum health, fitness, and well-being. But for most of us, we need a burger every now and then, or a chicken tender, or a shake, because we have challenging lives and we do want to have a wow moment. But I think for us, for Plant Power, we wanted to create fast food because we wanted to create a bridge or a portal or a gate that would lead to a deeper exploration of plant-based, and that can ultimately highlight the benefits of a whole plant-based whole food organic diet.
Well said.
Thank you. I just made this up. I just made that up just now.
And that's, you know, decades of experience and learning and learning and learning and studying to improve your product.
Yeah.
And I'm going to perk up a little bit because,
all right, perk
like
up.
You said, like, kind of what's in the beefy patty at Plant Power.
Yeah.
And if it's better, like, I'm like, big it's Zach.
Incredibly.
I'm big
I know, man.
No, like, our, okay. I'm like a black bean. I'm like, no. Like, you're saying, like, it's just soy and
no, the beefy
good.
Patty.
Like, I think people listening
yeah.
are going to fly from Missouri.
Yeah.
They're going to come cross country for a beefy patty because it's kind of, you're saying it's decent. Like, it's good.
Yeah. It's actually pretty clean. I got to tell you a story. May I? All right. I was in a Plant Power Ocean Beach one day, and there was this nice couple there. I would say a middle-aged couple, which meant they were like my age, because I forget I'm middle-aged. I keep thinking like I'm 30. And they saw me talking too loud the way I usually do, and they assumed I had something to do with the place, and they asked me who I was. And I said I was a co-founder, and they said it was their first time. I said, it's great to have you. Where are you from? And they said, I think it was actually Missouri. You know,
or I think it was.
Yeah. And I said, oh, wow, that's great. What brought you out to California? They said, to come to Plant Power. And I laughed because I thought, that's a great joke.
I'm laughing. And this is the second time. Now I'm hearing it from your mouth.
No, and they said, no, we're serious. And for them at that time, back then, Plant Power is kind of like the vegan fast food mecca. People came to.
It still is.
Yeah. But it was so touching. It was so sweet, you know. So I swagged them up. You know?
I mean, I flew it cross country.
Yeah.
So right. there's people coming, the food's it's going. Good.
Yeah.
You know, my dad goes, can you just like get it dry ice and like ship it? And I drove through at the Encinitas location, and I asked the gal or the guy, and she looked at me kind of like I was joking.
When we're talking with investors all over the world, that's my joke. I go, look, I'd put it in a box and send it now, but we're saving money. We'd be shipping it ground. It'll be there in about 10 days.
And it'll still taste great. Yeah, exactly. He's like, no, tell him I'll pay. I'm like, I don't think it works like that.
That's funny though.
So, you know, DoorDash.
There's a side business.
Yeah. Like you get the plant power plane.
It's,
I mean,
it's like, yes, cool. Aero, DoorDash, Grubhub.
Would you ever like sponsor the, like a sports team and like the Titans.
Yeah.
Were featured on Game Changers.
Yeah.
And of course, not all 52 guys on the roster are vegan.
Actually, you know, we get a lot of these questions and the answer is, yeah, we would love to do that. And I actually had someone reach out to me recently, and I can't talk about what the sponsorship was, but we're just not quite there yet. But wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
That would be great.
I told Charity Morgan, the wife of Derek Morgan. So Derek Morgan's defensive tackle or D-end on the Titans, and Charity Morgan, we're on, you know, the social media side, and I told her to watch the podcast. So hopefully you're watching. She just,
we're open.
Hey, yeah, she just made her own cookbook and she's kind of all about it. And, you know, some of the athletes featured on the Game Changers, the new James Cameron, like modern day, attractive to the youth.
Yeah.
Kind of maybe even older people who are like, oh man, these athletes are all vegan. Like,
a friend of mine was in that movie, by the way, a young friend. Yeah. Oh,
cool.
Mason Guzman Sanchez was one of the young men who was in that special study. Do you know the special study I'm talking about?
Was it the
Penis
study.
The penis study.
I think that's a pretty important
It was
point.
A great
it wasn't
study.
On my notes, but man.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know I was going to be talking about this. You can edit this out later or promote it, but anyway.
It's so important. Like, it's like cholesterol and erectile dysfunction. Like, we could get rid of both of them.
Yeah, so actually Mason is a world-class athlete and runner, and he was part of the study on what happens when you take meat out of your diet for a few days, yeah. And they were studying the effects it had on erectile.
Yeah, I
response.
Mean, that's where your blood flow goes as a man, and you know, that's the first sign.
What's that like, by the way? I'm old now. Is that still happening?
It's still flowing.
Okay, just checking.
Still flowing.
Okay, very good. Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Even though COVID slowed it down a little bit. Let's get back to, you know, we kind of power marketing, where it's like, what's the plant power marketing scheme? I mean, what's your angle?
Great, man. That's such a good question. You know, we have been so effective at just being the cool new plant-based fast food brand for years, right? 2016, it's like, what? Plant-based fast food? Now, there's a lot of great brands out there. We love these brands, right? There's Amy's that is almost fully plant-based. They're kind of vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Monty's, Slutty Vegan, Next Level Burger. So there's a lot of people in this space, and we're happy about that. And by the way, even the majors are adding plant-based options. Beyond Chicken at KFC, mm-hmm. Carl's Jr., Burger King, everybody's got plant-based options. So the world has changed in a good way. And our basic kind of concept has been, you know, we're the future of fast food. Like, this is where the world's going. But more recently, our new moniker is, check this out, I'm going to lean into the microphone, changing the world one burger at a time. And my partner Zach came up with that. And the reason that it's brilliant is that we have a transformative effect with the decisions that we make with regard to our diet, not only for ourselves and our well-being, and I'm going to say physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I think there's a lot of dimensions to the personal benefits of being plant-based, but we have an immediate impact on the environment. You know, like the difference between the amount of energy that it takes and feed and livestock and forests that are devastated to make a quarter pound of beef versus a plant-based burger is insane, right? And then, of course, if we kind of peer our heads out of our individual existence for a moment and think about the well-being of the animals, then, you know, we realize, wow, maybe I don't want to be involved with that. Now, that's a lot to consider. Somebody's going, dude, I'm hungry. I want a burger, fries, and a shake. We're not laying that on them. But by saying changing the world one burger at a time, we're inviting people to inquire. We're inviting people to ask themselves questions, because it's really not for us to answer any of those questions for anyone. Our job is to create a new choice and to kind of shine a little light on it. Changing the world one burger at a time. Well, what does that mean to you? And I think that means something different for everyone. As we evolve, we really want to do some serious strategic brand development and marketing. So if you talk to 100 vegans around the planet, a lot of them might know who we are. Plant Power is kind of famous with the vegan plant-based folks. Mm-hmm. But if you talk to 100, I'm going to use the words, normal people, mm-hmm. They may not know who we are. So we do have plans over the next 2 years to kind of transform how we tell the story of what Plant Power is to the world in a way that's inviting and welcoming and not confrontational and loving. Because we're not here to make people wrong or bad. We're here to hug it out, feed people beautiful, GMO-free, plant-based food with love, and then let their own journey unfold.
And it's good for you.
Yeah.
Like changing... Yeah. One burger at a time.
And it's good
and
for
what
you.
And what's in it is actually good for us.
It's really true.
I think that's like such an important message that it's like, because I know a bunch of coaches and it's like, like that stuff's not good for me either. And it's like,
No.
This is gourmet fast food.
Yeah, it's next level. A friend of mine gave me a new moniker the other day. He said, call it fast food that doesn't suck. I'm like, okay, that's good. Can I tell you a quick story?
Go ahead.
You know me. I tell stories. This is a true story, and I probably shared it before, but I did have a friend of mine who's not a vegan or a vegetarian. Go to Plant Power. Check it out. He's heard me tell my story for years and years and years of wanting to create this. And he said, dude, I can't tell you how amazing this was. And I think he had like the Big Zach or a bacon cheeseburger. I forgot. Fries, chicken tenders, and a shake. And he walked out of there. He said, dude, I felt great. Right now, I can't eat like that anymore. I'm a little older, right? But he had all these things that he usually has, and he usually knows it's going to mm-hmm. kick his butt mm-hmm. if he eats a burger and chicken tenders and a shake with dairy and all that stuff. But he said he felt great, and he could work out later. And so it really is much better than real fast food.
It is, because I get a shake, and I'm like, oh, wow, the Oreo shake.
I know.
The peanut butter shake.
It's crazy.
Yeah. You guys, the shakes are incredible.
I'm not saying I'm not saying it's the same as like, you know, having a spirulina smoothie.
It's not the wheatgrass shot.
Right. It's not the wheatgrass shot.
And the majority of people don't want the wheatgrass shot.
That's true.
You know, that's the crash diet, trying to look good on Instagram these days. Like, let me,
it's not
suffer.
Working for me, by the way. It's not working for me.
The right guy. the shakes are to die for. And I've gotten a couple for my roommate and, you know, a couple normal people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they love it. But my one buddy, just Nate Allen, big 6'6 guy, like volleyball.
He shout
just,
out, he, Nate, if you're Nate, watching.
Nate, I miss Nate. Used to coach with Nate for many years. And he just ripped open it and just chugged it right before practice.
Dude, that's like so cool. Gulps.
He also chugged a whole bottle of Cholula's hot sauce. Hey, like an IHOP. So,
okay, yeah. So I got a friend of mine sent me a link the other day. Apparently there's I don't know, WWE, Worldwide Wrestling or World Wrestling Entertainment. Yeah. I guess there's a WWE star named Ryback, I believe is his name. And he's this gigantic, super ripped, super macho WWE guy. And he drove into Las Vegas, got himself Buffalo 66, Big Mac, fries, and just ate it in his car and just live streamed it, I guess, and captured it as a video cast. It was is real cool.
Yeah, there's some really jacked, ripped vegans.
There are.
Like Kendrick Ferris is an Olympian, and Patrick Baboumian, and Nemai Delgado, to name a couple. I mean, there's a plethora of them out there.
So when you
there's,
said jack ripped vegans, though, I noticed that my name was actually suspiciously missing from that list. It was coming still,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know.
Maybe. Yeah. One day.
If that's where you want to, you know, you got to sacrifice. Do you want to be the CEO and the founder?
Yeah.
Or do you want to just dedicate your entire life to the gym? Because that's like kind of the protein thing. Like yeah. Those people only just work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's not like you get like that
yeah.
from just eating protein.
Well,
like, I want to get
what big. A lot of people don't know is that scientists have shown you that the plant-based diet combined with couch surfing, watching TV and on the couch, actually reduces calorie count and cholesterol.
Yeah.
I just made that up, but how did that sound for marketing?
It was good because it's not true.
I know it's not true, but it sounded good.
Yeah. Kind of going back a little bit to, you know, some of the animal stuff and the marketing and the power words, and our world is so commercial filled. Rich Roll said we live in a commercial filled world, and how can you sift through those commercials? How can you mute the TV? How can you unsubscribe from emails? How can you kind of get away from all that nonsense? And, you know, the word animal agriculture and the term ignorance is bliss. Let's just take it one at a time, because I think they both pertain to exactly this plant-based movement. And that's kind of what I'm trying to create through a plant-based production, a food movement through a plant-based lifestyle.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Animal agriculture sounds so soft and, like
happy cows.
Yeah. Like the term agriculture with animals is not at all what it is. And, you know, for a while, the ignorance is bliss term is what I lived. Like, I don't want to know about, you know, the documentaries, or I don't want to watch. And a lot of people can relate to that. And I was eating a ton of steak right before I cold turkey threw everything out and watched the documentary. And it was food choices. It wasn't an over the top, in your face slaughterhouse. This animal agriculture is, do you think it's a misrepresentation of?
That's really interesting.
And there's a lot of that going on. So,
I think that that's a great question. I know agriculture is one word, and you kind of see cornfields, and animals is another word. And when you combine them, maybe you see happy cows and like in the commercials. But I think that's such a great inquiry. What we don't want to see, right, is suffering. Mm-hmm. And what we don't want to think we're part of is creating a suffering. And actually, most of us don't think about suffering a lot until we're really suffering. And, you know, it could be, we might suffer emotionally. We might go through the death of someone we love, or break up, or have a bad flu, or get in a bad accident. But if you bring yourself back to a moment of really tremendous suffering in your own life, whatever that looked or felt like, you realize you do not want to be the cause of suffering for anyone else. And when I say anyone else, I say that I use those words on purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything else. I'm saying anyone else, because when you look into the eyes of an animal, just like when you look into the eyes of a person, someone is looking back at you. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the beginning of any good life or spiritual journey starts with asking myself the question, am I creating suffering from others? And by the way, I'm sure I do in many unconscious ways. But if there's big ways that I'm creating suffering that I can identify and remove, then that's the first step towards leading a more conscious and loving life, going back to where you started with regard to kindness. And I think Paul McCartney, or maybe Linda McCartney, said if slaughterhouses had glass walls, everyone would be a vegetarian.
Yeah.
This was before Paul was a vegan, but they started a vegetarian journey. And in their case, they were looking out at the sheep in their yard who were their pets, and they were eating lamb chops, and they kind of realized suddenly this incredible cognitive dissonance. So I do think, I'm riffing, but what I do want to say is when we wake up, when we make the connection, sure, we have to give some things up because they're just no longer going to be fun anymore. We're too awake to enjoy those things. But the process of awakening is extraordinary as well, and the kind of impact that can have on our lives and tapping into something very powerful and frankly, kind of magical.
Yeah, I kind of was doing the fitness disease priority over the animals and some of my friends, and oh, well, you're not like plant-based for the animals. I'm like, well, of course, like I've naturally moved towards that direction.
Yeah.
More so. And I, you know, love animals.
Yeah.
You love animals. Who doesn't love animals?
Everyone loves animals.
And everyone loves dogs. I mean, you go to North County, San Diego. It is like the most dog friendly place ever. And,
I know.
You know, that's why there's a lot of vegans maybe. It's like, you want to eat your dog. And listen, that's getting hardcore, right?
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, I think what I want to invite people who are thinking about it. And by the way, that's funny what you just said, right? I've had people come to me and say, dude, I saw like, you know, Game Changers and I am now plant-based. But hey, man, I didn't do it for the animals, right? And as if like I'm doing it for myself, I'm still macho, I haven't lost my edge.
Exactly.
I'm not. And that I think is really interesting because the meat industry has kind of sold us this kind of macho thing around meat. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about Rich Roll a little while ago. And I kind of missed some of the nuances there, but you were talking about what he said about we're just being sold a ton of advertisements and really lies and stories, and we're buying into them. I think when we start to unravel some of the lies that we've been told, war is okay. You can eat animals, whatever those stories are. You can invest in this fund that, you know, rapes the land, and it's okay. We've been told lots of stories. When we begin to unravel even one of those stories, we get to look at all of the other stories differently. And for me, it's kind of about moving from living in those stories and those cultural mores that may be unexamined and reconnecting with our own wisdom. Because actually, here's the cool part. Everybody knows everything. It's like there's a place inside of us that actually knows. Mm-hmm. And it's just whether or not we're going to be willing to look at that. But I would say to people who are exploring this plant-based for compassion journey, go easy on yourself. Mm-hmm. We're not a bunch of vegans waiting to beat you up and tell you how bad you are. Take steps, learn, be gentle, make small changes. That's a better way for most people to go. That wasn't my journey, but for a lot of people, going slowly and gently is the only thing that would work.
Yeah, you talked about the lie.
Yeah.
And to me, like, I started to develop a win-win mentality. And before I went plant-based, I was in a transformative mindset, a growth mindset.
Yeah.
And trying to be open-minded. And I think it kind of starts there with, like, your own just life. And are you open-minded?
Yeah.
And are you looking to grow? Or are you kind of closed off growth mindset or not? And when you have that growth mindset, then you could build on your relationship with food. If you're just kind of closed off and you just try to build your relationship with food, it's hard to kind of just be open to trying things and like, you know, eat these beans. Like, no, farting's like good for you. Well, don't eat the whole can of beans, you know, eat some beans because there's a lot of fiber and we don't get all that fiber. And it's more than just the relationship with food. I listen to the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People or Productive People.
Love
it. Great on Book on Tape and Tim Ferriss, Tool of Titans. And I just kind of, Dale Carnegie, the sales book, How to Make Friends, and just changed the way I viewed food. Mm. And that was like the first step. And then it was the documentaries. And then it was just Big Zach and Plant Power. You know,
you made the leap, man. You went for enlightenment right away.
Yeah. And the awakening and the journey and creating win-win situations. And like you said, the animals aren't a thing. They have a ton of feelings, and the documentaries, Cowspiracy and Seaspiracy, like once you start watching them, you get used to it. And you know, the ignorance is bliss. People don't want to, you know, really tap into that. Like, and once they get that open mindset and it's like, oh wow, I could change. I'm not going to wilt away. I'll feel better.
And also there's a transformation that happens as well. So when you start kind of believing the lies and getting spoon-fed some version of reality, like I said, I believe that it's the beginning of a deeper awakening. Now, I might use, you know, Jeffrey Harris might use the word spiritual awakening, right? I might call it spiritual when you realize you're connected to everything and everyone and nature and reality. Other people might use a different name. But I think that it takes courage to look at something that's real, and because it requires change. So, you know, we've all met people that said, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. You know, a lot of people do not ask me why I'm vegan. They do not want to know. And that's cool. We'll go out and we'll have a meal and I have my baked potato or salad and they'll have their steak. And that's fine. I won't pay for that check, right? But other people will ask me, well, dude, tell me why. In my last job, I had a new boss at one point, and folks said, Jeff, I don't think you're going to get along with this guy. You're obviously a tree-hugging yogi, Bernie Sanders, socialist, vegan, hippie. You know, that's an exaggeration. Yeah. And this guy's an ex-Marine dude, you know, my new boss. I actually like the guy a lot. But we were out for dinner one time, and we're at some place, and I'm ordering my vegan stuff off the menu with no vegan stuff. And he asked me, well, why? You know, it was such a great question. Because he asked me, because he opened the door, I just told him the truth. I said, fundamentally, I don't want to create any animal suffering if I can avoid it. And I saw the little lights go off, right? Now we were having a conversation. He's smart. He knows not to ask if he doesn't want to know the answer. So I think that there's a cool thing that happens when we want to grow.
Yeah, the growth mindset is super important. And,
yeah,
you know, you're in the growth mindset as a founder and owner, and it's like, where does Plant Power want to grow and where does it want to improve?
Thanks for asking.
Because you're always, everything's changing. Like each podcast episode for me needs to be better.
Yeah.
And right now I got, hopefully this thing recording, the little Osmo Pocket. I don't even know if it's recording.
I don't know if I'm waving at the right camera.
Hopefully it's recording. So I feel like, all right, the YouTube quality. So where is Plant Power looking to improve?
Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge my founders, my co-founders and friends, Mitch Wallace and Zach Voga. So without these guys, there'd be no Plant Power. You know, I set out on this journey like about 15 years ago, looking for a partner or partners that had the same dream. And Mitch and Zach are, you know, brilliant and inspired and dedicated people who want to change the world. We all had a similar vision way back then. And the vision, you know, I encapsulate it with the term, the vegan version of McDonald's, just because it has a ring to it. It's a bit of a mantra. But that's really what we wanted to do. And what we want to do is ultimately have hundreds or thousands of restaurants around the world and demonstrate a new paradigm of what fast food can be and what it could, and what plant-based eating can be. I don't think that Plant Power in and of itself is going to change the world or create world peace in the near future. However, I do feel that hundreds or thousands of conscious businesses based around kindness and sustainability will have an impact as we move forward. And so what we're trying to do is improve our marketing. The look and the feel of the brand after all these years, I think, is dialed in really beautifully from my partner, Zach. We're always looking to improve and change the food. We love where it is right now, but we've gotten to where we are now by changing it and evolving it over the years. And then internally, we're building a world-class team of experienced professionals. So, you know, having a dream and going, we're going to take over the world and have thousands of restaurants. Well, that sounds nice. That's nice. But what it takes to get there is really building a team and enrolling them in your vision and continuing to expand that. So our dream is to have hundreds or thousands of restaurants. We are focused on that. Today we have 10. We're building 5 more. So we're quite a bit short from this big, huge, amazing goal. But we're trying to build a company that's strong enough and inspired enough that it can continue to move in that direction and have an impact in the world.
I can relate, not from financial gains yet, although my goal is to have, you know, a television station or, you know, sponsor you guys or vice versa and have athletes and, you know, watch ESPN and see like a plant-based production commercial or yes, a Plant Power fast food commercial.
You yes. know,
that's what I want to see. And that's what we need to see more. because Arby's, we have the meats and Subway Eat Fresh and the athletes promoting this, even though they're not eating that. Like, would love to see how long until we see a plant power fast food commercial on ESPN.
Great question. Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Stay tuned.
All right.
No, I'm kidding.
I mean, we could create it. You're an audio guy. We could just create it.
Yeah, well, if we can use this, this is going to be happening.
Right, if you have
actually,
the money.
It's a great question. And I can't mention names, but, you know, we have had some major people, you know, reach out to us. And one major NFLer that wanted to be involved with us at one point. I think we're getting closer to that. And in terms of commercials, like, we want to do that. I do want to call out, though, you know, Ethan Brown, who's the CEO of Beyond Meat, who I happen to know and is a very beautiful, dedicated guy. He wants to change the world. When he hooked up with Carl's Jr. and they got the Beyond Meat burger at Carl's Jr. And one year during the Super Bowl, Carl's Jr. had a vegan burger commercial during the Super Bowl. It was hilarious. It was an old cowboy doing yoga. Talking about when the wagon wheels of change roll through, sometimes you got to jump on or something like that. But it was so hilarious that Carl's Jr. had the balls to have a vegan burger commercial during this macho Super Bowl experience. And it hit the right chord with everybody. Nobody could deny how kind of ironic and funny it was. But that was a big turning point. That was a huge change, the fact that you saw that. And they were kind of acknowledging that the world was changing. And so I think the time is right. We just have to be, you know, it's just economics at this point. We just need to have a few more restaurants before we're spending $1 million for a 30-second commercial.
The word of 2022 between me and my friends and for myself is keep going.
Yes.
So you're on an amazing,
yeah.
You know, I don't have to tell you.
That's a great mantra.
Maybe just reminding myself, keep going. And, you know, you drive around the freeway and you're looking on social media and there's so much competition and you could get that like, oh shoot. Like
keep going, man.
And then you just stop and say, no, keep going. This is fun. This is
keep
even work.
Going. Keep going. When I was in sales years ago, a guy that was one of my mentors said, the secret of sales is showing up, show up, just keep showing up. Mm-hmm. And sooner or later you're doing business mm-hmm. and people know you and they want to do business with you. Mm-hmm. And Scholar, you know, you and young people like you who are inspired, it's your time. There's a lot of people that are 10 or 20 years ahead of you. It's time for them to move on and do some other things and take a break. Mm-hmm. They've been keep going for a long time. Yeah. So keep going, man. I love what you're doing. I really do.
Cool. Couple more questions. All right. So what do you like to eat around the house? Because, you know, and another topic that pops into my head is like eating out. Is eating out when it comes to cooking at home, it's mm-hmm. a lot less expensive. So yeah. Like eating vegan in my mind is no different than eating lobster and steak. It's not more expensive.
Yeah.
Eating out is eating out.
Yeah.
Obviously if you go to a nice restaurant, it's different than if you go to, you know, if you're paying $40 for a steak
yeah.
and you're paying $38 for a vegan paella, you're going to a nice restaurant.
Right.
If you're going to Plant Power, which mm-hmm. is a nice restaurant,
yeah,
not even, it's just,
we're definitely on the cheaper side for sure.
Yeah. Or the competitors. It's like it's different when you eat at home. It's not more expensive to eat vegan or plant-based. And like people need to understand like, oh, like isn't vegan like more expensive? It's like, no, are you eating out every meal?
It all depends what you're doing. So, you know, it's such a range. Lonnie, my girlfriend and I love vegetables and whole grains and gluten-free garbanzo type pasta and stuff like that. So we love eating kind of really clean at home.
Favorite meal, like go-to meal. So because we're talking to people who are normal. They don't know.
I'm not normal though. I'm a vegan hippie yogi. So my favorite meal is not everybody's favorite meal, but my favorite meal is brown rice covered with sauteed vegetables and sauteed tofu and some kind of interesting sauce. That's my thing. However, when I'm crazy busy, right, I like to take a gluten-free brown rice style tortilla or an almond flour tortilla, something that's gluten-free, and if I'm moving too fast, I throw shit in it, right? Some garbanzo beans, some avocado, some lettuce, a little bit of dressing, and I go. So I think that there's something to be said for slowing down. Mm. And taking time to enjoy our food and being conscious about it something that Thich Nhat Hanh talked about, you know, the Buddhist teacher. So, and when I slow down, I love a really nicely prepared salad or some sauteed veggies on brown rice. That's just me. And when I go crazy, I'll have a few pieces of gluten-free toast with some, like, this is my real go crazy thing. Either olive oil or some vegan margarine and a little bit of brewer's yeast. That's vegan's gone crazy for me. Yeah. That's going off the rails, man.
Yeah. So extravagant.
Yeah, little, I know.
I had a French loaf, the bread with olive oil from 12, I think, in dude, Santa Monica.
What's right?
That? What's that main 12? I was like, can I just get like the French loaf? Also got Brussels sprouts, a quinoa salad, and fries.
So you counterbalance it.
I ate a ton. It's not like I don't eat. No, I eat a ton.
I have a bread thing that I have to stay away from because your viewers who are only listening on audio, I'm only about 5'6" and I go horizontal very quickly. So I could spend the rest of my life just like eating, you know, French baguettes, but I have to not do that.
Well, I got to get you the Simone Caesar, and then the secret is just kale.
That's it.
Just, and do you like hummus?
Yeah. Oh.
Dude, it's just kale. Dude,
I'm all about hummus.
It's celery, it's kale, and it's hummus and the Simone Caesar. And
dude, you're getting me hungry.
I'm getting there. We're priming ourselves for
We're going to do a little brunch today.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about like the education system and how you mentioned 8 hours and, you know, the quote from the China study about your doctors may not know more. Do you think there needs to be a change within the education system? And it doesn't have to be at the higher level. It doesn't have to be the most like, elaborate change. There's changes with like, well, you can't say this or that with like, you know, male or transgender stuff going on, except like food is like the core of like everything. And like we eat so much.
Yes.
Are we just like chasing the money and are the people at the higher up lying and are kids just...
Yeah.
Unaware. So the milk mustache, the milk campaigns and cookies and you're eating French fries. And
it's such a beautiful question, Skylar. Truly. I mean, honestly, I would imagine, this has been a challenge, right? So there are moneyed interests. Our entire civilization, our country is based on the animal agriculture model. If you were to drive in your car for 5 minutes, you're going to go buy restaurants and supermarkets filled with, I hate to sound dark, but corpses, right? And we know so much about nutrition now and about wellness. The China study was monumental. That was actually life-changing for what we understand about food on a scientific basis. One would think that if you're a kid going through school, going through elementary school and junior high and high school, I guess it's called middle school now, you could tell I'm old, one would imagine that whatever is being taught about nutrition would be upgraded to reflect current scientific understanding. And in the same way that we teach people about math and writing and science and history and biology, one of the most important things we could teach people is about actual real nutrition and what we now know about it. And we can't rely on studies that were sponsored by those who have an interest in this current flawed model. We need to be able to take the science that is now recognized by peer-reviewed journals and teach today's children what we do understand about food. And the truth is, what we really do understand about food is that a plant-based diet is superior in every way. That's not to say that a vegan donut is good for you, but generally speaking, a whole food plant-based diet is a game changer. Along those lines, the other things that I think that we should be teaching our young people is a little bit about breath and mindfulness. So the answers that allow young people to unlock their own power, their own calm, a sense of safety in the midst of chaos are so simple. And we're so freaked out that if we teach them breathing exercises, we're converting them from Christians to Hindus or something. We're just... By teaching people about their breath, about a bit of mindfulness, about nutrition, we're literally handing young people the keys to transform their lives in ways that people can't imagine.
Do you think that might scare some people because there's no money in meditation?
Yes. And there's also no money in curing cancer by going to the organic food aisle and eating a lot of plant-based foods. I'm serious.
No, that's
the answer is yeah, it's a different paradigm and it's very threatening. I mean, we're seeing right now, there's resistance in our country to teach critical race theory, as if slavery didn't happen or had no impact. So there are forces, I know I'm going a little radical, there are forces in our society that are asking us to go back and be unconscious. And there are other forces in our society asking us to move forward and wake up and keep going. And food and nutrition is central for our well-being on every level. And I hope that we can do a better job of, you know, including that in how we transform education these days.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear you talk about some mindfulness. And kind of you are who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
And when you're in that mindful, going out to lunch with maybe a friend, I have a friend, Marcelo, and such a mindful person, you know, prayer before you eat, and then, you know, trying to finish a bite before you take another bite.
Yeah.
Eating slow. You know, those keys, that relationship with food, regardless of what you're eating, and then you build onto that like a really good base of what you know is good for you, and you just consume a lot of that. I mean, I've seen miracles, you know, with reversal of cancer and stuff. And
I have too.
I would love to host or house them on my website and get them, because that's what it's all about. You know, it's saving the environment and the animals, because it's not just here for us to destroy.
It's a win all the way around. But I think that is often the case. It's like in business, I've found, is if you are in a position to leverage your position to win over somebody else at 100%, don't do it. Renegotiate. Make sure that you only win at 90% or 85%. In other words, look for the win-win. And when we're talking about the plant-based diet, it's just a win all the way around. Animals, the environment,
it's the win-win-win.
Yeah, that's what we need
to
find.
It's a no-brainer.
And yeah, it's like so simple.
That's kind of the personal endeavor, or I don't know the right word. I feel kind of slighted, almost like to a point where it's like discouraging. Like you go through your whole life, you go to college.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, people just totally lied to you
the whole time.
Entire life about how to breathe. Like, no, I read a book. You're supposed to breathe in and out through your nose.
Right.
Not, and we're taking in too much oxygen. We need to generate more carbon dioxide. We need to breathe less and we need to eat less. And it's like too much protein, according to the China study, can actually express your cancer genes even more.
Yeah.
And getting it all backwards and being lied to. And that's kind of, yeah, I've taken it personal, and that's kind of fueled my fire.
I love that. But I have noticed that, God forbid you end up in the hospital with cancer. They will feed you products that have casein, which we know will accelerate your cancer growth.
And it's in a lot of processed dairy. Different from the cow's milk that's super pure.
Right.
Which is, you know, a lot of people are not drinking that.
But the fact that we now know, you know, what casein does in terms of turning on cancer growth, and in a hospital, somehow that knowledge is not there.
Yeah.
And so that's shocking. I like the way you asked that. How can you go all the way through all these years of education and no one teaches you these basic things? Yeah. Maybe one of the answers is that it is empowering. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Matrix, you know? I forget which pill is the pill where you wake up. The blue one or the red one? I don't remember. But, you know, people that are educated and self-empowered and aligned with their own will, who are expressing their own sovereignty, if we had more of that in our society, it's natural that our society's structures would change and transform and evolve in good ways. And it's not unnatural that people that benefit from the way the system is now would resist that. And that's not saying that, you know, corporations are evil and all of that, because all we have is a society based on human beings. I'm not going down that road. But what I'm saying is we can do better.
Definitely.
We can do better.
Yeah. And let's start doing it. Let's start learning.
Yeah.
And let's take action.
Yeah.
You know, you can only do better if you're taking action. If you're just talking about, if I'm just doing a podcast and then I'm not taking action with what I'm doing, then there's nothing there. You're just talking the talk. You got to walk the walk.
I agree.
You got to walk more. And, you know, I'd love to continue to support Plant Power, not just by eating it, by highlighting it on my website and by posting about it or sharing people, hey, the beefy patty is actually pretty nutritious.
And it's on our website. Like, I mean, it's not a big mystery.
On my website.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Putting your logo on my website as like a featured restaurant.
Dude, if you put my logo on your website, it's already on there. Oh, really? Then I do owe you $20 and I'm going to buy you brunch. I didn't know.
It's already on there. I want to continue to do so though, because your alignment with my vision, and I mean, you already had the same vision just a little before me.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Tell me briefly, I know that your listeners know, tell me what inspired you to start Into the Blue Zone.
Well, Blue Zones, as Dan Buettner, might be pronouncing that right or wrong, was coined a term as people who just live really long, healthy lives. And centenarians is people who get to 100. So you're living a healthy life and you're at 100, not you're barely walking and you made it to 100. And with, you know, medicine and everything going on, it seems like we could live long past 100. And I've been super blessed and fortunate to have an amazing life. And so I love life. So for me, it's like, well, I want to live as long as possible. Mm. And then I found out this like nutrition aspect. I'm like, I feel like I probably just got 20 to 30 years added on. And it's if really you're saving true. Money, you're yeah. making money. If you're, yeah. if you're not losing years, you're gaining years.
Yeah.
So just by not eating a certain way, I'm gaining years. And it's like, I need to share this with people. And like my parents a month later, a couple of my friends, and I'm like, wow, this is like a no brainer. Like, it's, why would you not do it? And for me, I've had like, that's where I get a little, maybe offensive, not offensive, but offense. Like, I'm on the offense. It's like, well, no, like, you should try it. And don't try it for like a month, because there's definitely, I had a buddy who lost like 40 pounds and he was like, wow. And like in a month.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you got to eat more. Like, you're eating too much spinach. You have to learn about it.
Yeah.
And that's reading the books. That's watching the documentaries. That's listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
Because it's so important. It's like the art. I feel like we should all have our masters in nutrition and we don't even have a general course in it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in it. It's kind of like no one teaches you how to make money except, you know, that's how you kind of survive in modern day America. So I was fortunate to have an upbringing. And then, you know, I used to listen to sports talk in Philly, 610 WIP, and love kind of the hosting, the talking, the deep conversations, and just kind of was afraid to start for a while, you know, with not just this and other things. And then it's like, all right, I met a guy and he's a podcast editor, Sammy. And he's like, well, get this, this, and this. And it's like, all right, well, instead of investing in the stock market, let's invest in like myself and modern day. Oh,
nice.
So over the first like 8-9 years, it was all about retirement and like saving and not living now. And I had another lovely lady in my life, Drea, and she was like living now, living in the present moment. So then I'm like, all right, let's just like start spending money on things I want to do now. And I had a lot of time. I coach volleyball at Wave, so my mornings are open. So instead of just working out for 2 hours, it's like, let's challenge myself. Let's get off Easy Street. You know, Easy Street's easy. And there's a lot of people on Easy Street. And you go to your job and you don't have any like back end stuff. So started the podcast because I had a sports talk show for a year with a friend at High Point University. Kind of was always around the radio show type environment. Someone was like, you know, there's still a lot of space in podcasting. And, you know, YouTube's been around for a while. There's a lot of YouTubers. And, you know, podcast, I'm like, yeah, I feel like that could be a fun endeavor. And meeting people for the first time and then talking for an hour and a half is special.
Oh, and yeah.
Getting a mic in front of people.
Yeah.
With the headphones.
Yeah.
People respond differently.
Yeah.
They perk up. They become more thoughtful. It goes from small talk to like, this is going to be recorded for a long time.
It's interesting.
It's pretty awesome.
It makes everybody conscious and careful about what they say in a good way.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And bringing positive vibrations. And, you know, I always enjoyed kind of deep issues, almost like a psychiatrist. And instead of dealing with your issues, we're talking about more positive sharing wisdom and enlightening people and sharing cool experiences. And that's kind of what's really special about the podcast world.
I predict that you, Skylar, and what you do and Into the Blue Zone will be a doorway for a lot of people. So everyone gets turned on in different ways. if they are exploring spiritual paths or nutritional paths, fitness paths, you know, something triggers them. Something like gives them the spark. And I predict that you have been and will continue to be the spark for a lot of people.
Cool. Thank you for those kind words. And you've been super open, I mean, with your schedule. I can't even imagine. You said you're up at 5 a.m. It's Sunday. So just to paint the picture, Jeffrey, you're going over the top to kind of make this happen.
And thank you. Well, dude, when you pull me off my desk and out of spreadsheets, it's a blessing. Yeah. And so I'm actually very grateful. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, hey, got someone coming up here. Like,
totally cool. And of course, that means I have to take a shower for the first time in a few months and clean the house.
Yeah. You had Lonnie out there cleaning the car. It's like, oh, that's nice. Cool. All right, let's kind of wrap up here. One more wave. And again, you've been listening to Into the Blue Zone, a plant-based production. We have special guest Jeffrey Harris, CEO and co-founder of the amazing Plant Power Fast Food. What is it? The slogan?
Changing the world one burger at a time.
And they're good for you.
They really are. Buffalo chicken sandwich, the Buffalo 66 at Plant Power, can cure all disease immediately. Wait, you might want to edit that out.
I'm not that good at editing. Last little thing here, and then we'll wrap up. I've been asking this to all my guests, which I'm sure other people say, and this and that, a key to life. And it could be something simple I've had and shared over the numerous shows. For me, like waking up to the sun, making my bed, maybe some morning meditation, prayer, thoughtfulness.
Love it, man.
As opposed to like getting out of the bed, checking your phone and just like getting on an email. It's just
sometimes
tone setting.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm doing the secret of life stuff and sometimes I'm absolutely forgetting it. For me, the main secret of life is love, and I'm not joking. And the reason that it's so helpful is that it's the antidote to fear. And when I have rough moments, which I do, man, when I have rough moments, I think, you know, like Christians will sometimes say, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Mm-hmm. I ask, what would love do now? Mm-hmm. Like, so that is my mantra, and that is the key to life for me. Is like, and then whenever I'm disconnected from love, then something's wrong, and I got to take a look at my head. But in terms of my life, the thing that makes it work is mindfulness. I don't meditate as much as I used to, but I do contemplate every day, work it out on my Peloton, eating plant-based food, being kind to people is kind of simple. And then watching my own brain. So when my own brain tells me unkind stories about myself or others, I learn how to ignore that and then go back to what would love do. Only wisdom I got, man. I wish I had more.
Oh, that's, I mean, mine's like a small picture day to day. Yours is like, well, I made the bed. I got up with the sun. Now it's like big picture item. Like, no, love. And I'm developing more love in my life.
No, you got that. You know that already.
Now I'm, being less concerned with people's judgments.
Yes.
And like coworkers, friends, family members, and just going for it.
It doesn't matter, man. Like, you know, the most important thing is that if people know we love them, they can't, you know, it's irresistible. We all want to be loved. The other last thing I want to add about the secret of my life, Skylar, strong ass coffee. I'm just saying, it seems to be the thing that's making this thing go. Just saying.
Coffee is really strong because I wasn't on coffee for a while. And then, like, I never drank coffee.
Yeah.
And Michael Greger, shout out to Michael Greger. Do you know Michael Greger?
I know that name.
He wrote How Not to Die.
Oh, yeah, kind right.
Of glasses.
Yeah.
Runs nutritionfacts.org and just all like plant-based nutrition. And I read his book and he goes, every time you have coffee, you miss out on a chance to have green tea. Now, with that being said, some people need coffee.
Yeah.
And coffee's strong. Like there's some drugs out there that don't even compare to coffee.
That's true.
That's like the backwards
world. But it's also true that every time you have sex, you miss out on a chance to play chess or checkers. I'm still going to, never mind. Okay.
No, coffee gets the job done.
It like, does,
like it's strong stuff.
It totally
like,
is.
Man. I, you know, am a wired person and you offered coffee and I was like, no,
we're going to take you to the next level.
I got to get on the Peloton doing the podcast.
I do want to call out that this is right. What's happening right now is kind of what we call a Jewish goodbye. It takes a long time.
Yeah. Cool. Well, why rush it? I only have a 2-hour drive
home.
You know?
But if, can I share something with you? It's so nice to spend time with you and do this, to get to know you better. We've been talking about getting together for a long time and then to be able to share our conversation with your listeners, just to let it hang loose. to share aspects of our own journey with others. I'm honored and I'm very grateful to be here. And I want to say thanks to any listeners who are watching on video. I'm giving you a little wave. And for those who are listening on audio, it's just a pleasure to share our thoughts with you today. So thank you for that.
Cool. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Jeffrey. And I look forward to our future relationship, and only good things are going to come from it.
Me as well, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you, bro.